Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hope you guys are having a great day so far. Go to my website, Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two D's, Tuddle.net. When you go there, you're going to be able to find every single place to be able to find me online, social media, YouTube, the podcast, whatever it may be. Hell, you can even find out how you would like to be able to donate. You can go to my PayPal. I'll throw that one in there while I'm at it. PayPal.me/Tuttle on the radio. Now, yesterday, not the greatest day. I'm not going to get into it too much. I try to do fun radio for you guys. Yesterday was a very hard day. I mean, we all are all going to have to go through it one day. But yesterday, my mom and myself and my uncle, we had a long meeting with the doctors and the people at the hospital. And there's really nothing else that they can do for him. Both his kidneys are failing. And my mom actually signed a DNR. And if you guys don't know what that is, that's a do not resuscitate. And that is kind of a hard pill to swallow. It is, because it's kind of like you're throwing in the towel. They've already set, well, you are throwing in the towel. They've already set up a hospice. And, you know, like I want my dad to be okay. I want him to be better, but it's just not in the cards. And I want it to not last forever. I really don't. I mean, I just wish that, you know, if you knew that, like, hospice is just a way to drain more money. Yeah, I know that they do good and stuff, but I mean, can't we just, like, you know, that first pain medication you give him, maybe you accidentally, you know, give him a little too much? Because I'm telling you right now, I want to go out on a high. I want to go out on the best high. Give me, just spike me up with the fentanyl, baby. Let's do this. Let's get this show on the road. But they're not going to do that. He's probably going to sit in there probably for a week and a half. I'm gonna still go and visit every day, but man, it really fucking sucks. It does. Like I said, I know that we all have to go through this one day, all of us. That's the one thing that pits us all together, pits us all on level ground, and that's death. It's all coming for us one day, and we gotta pay the piper one day. So, yeah, there's that. Anyways, one of the first stories I wanted to get into, and I find this very, very interesting. And, of course, it is in Florida. Got to take off my glasses so I can actually read this as well, too. A high school edited yearbook photos to hide the girl's chest. Students and parents are furious. Last week, Bartram Trail High School in St. John's, Florida, a public school about a 30-minute drive from Jacksonville, released its yearbook, and Riley O'Keefe was eager to see her photo. The 15-year-old freshman immediately noticed something was amiss. O'Keefe initially laughed off the picture, which had been altered to lift her neckline, until she turned more pages and noticed more obvious edits, with some bordering on cartoonish side. "I couldn't believe they printed those and thought it was okay," she told the Washington Post in an interview. "I started to get really upset and angry. The school is looking through children's photos and looking at their chest." Yeah, I would like to know, was this a dude or a woman that was going through and looking at all these, like, high school girls' chests and stuff? O'Keefe and her sister, a sophomore at the school, didn't get the worst of the pictures of who's dared to wear patterns that day were marred with changes that looked like something out of a Minecraft or work of a first grader, Stephanie Fabry, O'Keefe's mother, told the Post. "The students and guardians are furious that the pictures of 80 young women were altered, leaving teenagers feeling embarrassed and ashamed while their parents demanded answers and change. Okay, this, I don't know, people. Like, I really don't. All right, two things. All right. Our high school yearbooks, like Playgirl, like a very, very cheap, laid-back version of Playgirl or Playboy for like pedophiles, whoever's listening. If you're listening across in the UK, it's pedophile. Here in America, it's pedophile. But yeah, like, are they all just rushing to get, oh my God, I got to get this year's edition of the high school yearbook. No, oh, damn it, I can't look at these anymore. They've covered up all the girls' chests. Yeah, I know Florida is kind of a little bit of a sick state, but are we really that bad that we have to edit the chest photos of a bunch of high school students? St. John County School District Superintendent Tim Forson said in a statement that the student picture situations didn't have sufficient review of the steps taken before the decision was made to edit some students' pictures. Certainly, there has never been an intent to embarrass or shame any student for the clothes that they wear, he said. Unfortunately, we are learning a valuable lesson in the importance of the process, and understanding the intent is not always the result. The edits were made by a teacher who was also the yearbook coordinator, according to Christina Langston, chief in communication relations for the school district. So, was it a woman or was it a man? In the past, students were deemed in violation of the student code were excluded from the yearbook altogether, she said. The digital alterations to the images of female students were a solution to make sure all students were included, said Langston. Way to cover your ass and way to flank yourself, but bravo. Who said students left out were not notified in the disclaimer of the yearbook page was the notice. Forson said the yearbook coordinator did nothing to deserve any disciplinary action, First Coast News reported. The outcry from the community isn't the first time the school's dress code has drawn attention. In March 31st, girls received dress code violations after school administrators and other school staff patrolled the hallways to monitor student attire, which involved asking girls to raise their hands over their heads to see if their shirts exposed the skin around their abdomen. Ooh, yeah, that's a bad look. That's a real bad look as well. The St. Augustine Record reported the school usually averages about 12 or less dress code violations per day, where it's more than 2,800 students. Now, I mean, are girls still dressing like hoes? I mean, I don't want to sound like that old dude, but I know back in the day, the Daisy Duke shorts were the big thing, and the thing that the guys always got busted for were the Big Johnson shirts. I don't know if you guys remember that. That was a very, very 90s, late 80s type thing. Where it was Big Johnson shirts, Big Johnson this, Big Johnson that. It was all about, you know, guys just trying to say they had big dicks in a funny way. And those shirts, you always got told to turn those inside out. It without fail, you just wanted to see how long you could go throughout a day before a teacher told you to turn your shirt inside out. That was the whole fun and games of wearing Big Johnson t-shirts. Now, one of the next stories I wanted to talk about is, where is all of this, I don't know, anti-Semitic hate coming from? I know that a lot of it has to do with the conflict going on in the Middle East. I don't even want to really, really even touch that one. But I've never really understood why do African Americans, I'm not saying all, I'm not trying to paint with a broad brush, but why do African Americans hate Jewish people so much? Like, there's so much anti-Semitic rhetoric coming out of the Black community, African American community, and I'm a little curious. I would love to know, because in this next story, this guy, he basically left his shit at a synagogue. Now, I don't know if it's his actual shit, or if him and a bunch of his guys ended up shitting in a bucket, and then it was like a community, like, mixture of shit in a bucket that you're going to bring to the synagogue. But I don't know. It made the news. You made a statement, buddy, with your shit bucket. You certainly did.
This morning, a new mugshot for 39-year-old Jeffrey Carl Fleming, one day after he was arrested on charges of littering human waste and stalking with an enhanced hate crime charge.
I don't know about you guys, and I know that it most likely does not fit under the freedom of speech or freedom of expression, But I got to tell you, I feel like I'm expressing myself every single time I go to the bathroom and lay down a number two. I'm just telling you, like, it is sometimes a work of art. I'm not trying to get too disgusting. I'm not trying to shock jock you here, but it is the truth. So, I mean, how is this guy, you know, spreading his feces? As long as he's not, like, throwing it on people. But, I mean, he was, like, laying it around the area of the synagogue. I don't understand. Like, I know that it's not right. I know that I wouldn't do it. But is it protected speech? Because, like I said, every morning when I go use the bathroom, I feel like I'm expressing myself. I swear to God, hearing that guy, like, explain himself about the pastor or priest or whatever it is, the rabbi out on him, doesn't that sound a lot like Tracy Morgan? Tell me, this sounds just like Tracy Morgan. I'm telling you.
Want to get you pregnant, girl, take you right behind the middle school, get the C-section skulls, yeah, get you pregnant, girl.
Fleming, believed to be the same man seen in this video, shouting obscenities outside Chabad of South Broward. He's also accused of leaving a cooler full of feces on Friday and spitting on a menorah before riding off on his bike.
And just to let you know, it wasn't one of, like, those good Yeti coolers. Nah, that would just be, like, going way overboard to give somebody a shit, like, a Yeti cooler filled with shit at your synagogue. I don't know, man. Like, I've always wanted a Yeti cooler, and I think I would be tempted to wash the human feces out of that Yeti cooler just to be able to use it again. Because Yeti coolers, you're talking like $300-$400 on the low side here. So yeah, I'm cleaning that cooler out all day.
Rabbi Mendy Tenenhaus says the hateful act happened again on Sunday.
It's rooted in hate and anti-Semitism.
Well, I mean, listen, the guy can come back all he wants to. If he's shitting in Yeti coolers, yes, bring it on down, buddy. We will flip all your shit Yeti coolers all day long. Come down, leave them. We got plenty of room for your Yeti shit coolers.
He chose to bring it here.
And it's not the first time, with Hallandale Beach police investigating another feces incident at this synagogue right down the road.
They're coming every day on, you know, every minute.
I'm just saying, I mean, look, okay. I mean, if you're going to make comedy, you got to make comedy. You can make jokes about anything. I hope cancel culture doesn't come after me for this one. But come on, man. What if one of these guys dressed up or started using the character name Adolf Schittler? Adolf Schittler. Yes. Adolf Schittler. It is a horrible pun, but I love puns. Adolf Schittler.
Officials with the Anti-Defamation League of Florida say they saw a 40% increase in anti-Semitic incidents last year, with the recent violence between Israel and Hamas in Gaza only making things worse.
Free Palestine, F the Jews, die Jew.
This man says his family was attacked and threatened while leaving a synagogue in Bal Harbor. Hateful acts that officials say have become far too frequent.
Or, you know what, though? We could take this even further. You know, like how all these cartoons, those Schoolhouse Rock specials, they all had like an antagonist. What if Adolf Schittler was like, you know, this is Adolf Schittler is the enemy, like, and then you have, like, a bunch of different Jewish people that can form into a big, bigger Jew, like, Jew Voltron versus Adolf Schittler, and then it's just a battle. It teaches you good versus evil, and, Jewtron actually defeats Adolf Schittler at the end of every single show. They high-five each other, freeze frame, and then it's the more you know kind of rip-off that G.I. Joe used to do. Yeah. It's a winner all day. Take it. Steal my idea, people. Gonna take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. You are listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Great news, folks. You now have the chance to see the face in front of that sexy voice. Right you are, sir. The Tuttle Daily Podcast streams Monday to Friday on YouTube. Anything can happen at the Hobo Fish Camp.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, sir. That's enough. Okay. So go to youtube.com/Tuttle. Don't forget to subscribe and hit that bell button so you're notified anytime Tuttle goes live. Good job, sir. Questions? Comments? Concerns? Compliments? Or do you just want to tell Tuttle to fuck off? In any event, contact Tuttle. Tuttle@gmail.com. It's Tuttle with two D's, dumbass.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Make sure you go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. Make sure you subscribe and hit that bell button, because when you hit that bell button, it's going to alert you anytime that I go live. Sorry, morning coffee. Anytime I go live or I upload any brand new content. So go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. A lot of people ask me, hey, Tuttle, what are some of the things that you're the most proud of in your radio career today? Now, I know this is going to sound rough, but or weird, but the most fun, the thing that I am the most proud of, the most about being a broadcaster, was my coverage back, I think, 2012, 2013, covering the Casey Anthony trial. For the longest time, I was out there. Even during jury selection, I was out there because, you know, Bubba the Love Sponge at the time, who I was working for, was actually tied up into the Casey Anthony trial because of the parody songs that they did. The one famous one, My Trunk, like done to a parody of My Hump. I'm going to have to sneeze, so I'm just giving you a heads up. Here we go. I hate it. I am such a weird sneezer, and as you can tell, my sinuses have been horrendous, been absolutely horrendous. Anyway, so I was out there covering the Casey Anthony trial for the Bubba the Love Sponge show, the Bubba Radio Network, at the Orange County Courthouse for almost a month and a half during the whole thing while it was going on. And I got to tell you, I got so much attention. I made so many connections with all the local reporters out there, Steve Barrett, Greg Warmoth, like every single one of the big time reporters were down there on a daily basis covering it. You guys don't realize this. Not only was it one of the biggest stories ever to hit Central Florida, the Orlando area specifically, this was also a humongous national-wide story. I mean, you had Nancy Grace, Jane Velez Mitchell, you had all the big dogs in town, in Orlando, every single day. Hell, matter of fact, it probably helped out with tourism. Because I remember, like, every single morning, people would be fighting. Like, literally, when I say fighting, I'm not exaggerating. They would be fighting over seats to be able to sit in the courtroom, to be able to watch part of the trial. So that's how bad it was. But the reason that I'm bringing up the Casey Anthony stuff is because there is a news story coming out, and what really, really has me suspicious is that, you know, we all knew that Casey Anthony was eventually going to resurface. Like, she had to wait. Like, you just can't kill your kid, like, and I know she was acquitted of it, so you really can't say that. I could get sued. But what I'm trying to say is you just can't kill your kid and then pop your head out immediately. Like, you got to plan this out perfectly. You got to be able to figure out, all right, so how long is long enough for me to actually walk down the street without people, like, throwing feces at me, like in the last story that I talked about. And I think she's waited long enough, because I really think that there is something on the horizon. I don't know if it's a new career, a new reality TV show, because come on, people, all you people at the end of the trial that were like, I'm not going to buy a book. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that of it. Yeah, well, guess what? If Casey Anthony got a, because I heard, like, she's wanting to be like a bail bondsman or a private investigator or something. Could you imagine a reality TV show with Casey Anthony investigating stuff? Because what if she is, like, one of the best private eyes out there? Because she literally got away with murder, people. So, like, she would know all the tips and tricks to be able to get around things. That's why I say this next story is, like, it's not even news, but it's one of those things that they're going to just shoehorn in. Be like, oh, my God, I forgot about Casey Anthony. Wait a minute. She's got a reality TV show. Oh, my God. I gotta set this up as a timer on the DVR. Honey, yeah, you know that bitch in Orlando? Yeah. Yeah, she got reality. Oh, record it. So, yeah, this is why this next news story I'm about to play sounds a little suspicious.
And you denied a heated exchange between Casey Anthony and another woman ended with police being called to a West Palm Beach bar.
And if I'm just being honest, we all know that this is like one of Channing Mason's side chicks, probably. It probably wasn't even an argument. Cheney, you know, the Colonel Sanders looking motherfucker, the one that wrote about me in his book, called me a media jackal. You know, Cheney is just like being the puppeteer. He knows exactly what's going on. This is just a little distraction of, hey, look, Casey Anthony's still alive, but she's got a reality TV show where she's going to be hunting down the criminal. The criminal becomes the criminal investigator, the Casey Anthony files. Dun, dun, dun.
According to a police report, Anthony got into an argument with the woman over an ex-boyfriend they were both dating at the same time.
Channing Mason. Yeah, it's Channing Mason. Channing Mason is the man. He had this all planned out. He saw this. He saw this whole thing like it was the Queen's Gambit. He's already a couple of moves ahead of you. He's like, hell yeah, I'll help out Jose Baez. Get this murdering bitch off. And then I'm going to have her move in with me. And then she is going to be my little retirement plan. We're going to lay low. She's going to spend all of her time down in West Palm Beach with me in a private area. I'll be getting some of that Casey Anthony ass. Hell, who knows? Casey's been laying so low. She could have already been a mother a couple of times over. Those babies probably came out with a big gray beard immediately. I'm just saying, who knows?
At one point, the woman allegedly spilled water on Anthony, and that's when police were called to that bar. No one was arrested or charged. Anthony received national attention after she was charged and later acquitted in the death of her daughter, Kaylee.
See, that's the thing about it, is a lot of you people that don't work in the media, that don't know how the whole game is played, you guys are like, oh my God, did you hear about Casey Anthony? No, this was all set up. This was all pre-planned. Mark my words, there is some big Casey Anthony announcement coming right around the corner. It will be. Mark my words, I will take any bet from it, because I'm telling you right now, that is exactly what is going to happen. Casey Anthony is going to be announcing some new project, some little like side hustle that she's got working on, and it's all going to be set up by this, oh my God, another woman spilt water on me. Unless it was holy water, I don't understand what it could hurt. Before I go to break, the last news story that I wanted to talk to before I go into the last segment, I've actually heard some other radio hosts use this phrase that guilty people don't kill themselves. Guilty people don't commit suicide. Yeah, I gotta disagree with that one, because there's a lot of false accusations that are made towards other people. I'm not just gonna just say men, but let's say men in general, okay? They get accused of sexual assault, rape, whatever it may be, and it's a horrible crime. It does happen, but you also got to understand that people make false accusations. And as a man, especially here in the United States, once you're accused of something, and even if you are found innocent, your name is still tarnished. Your name is definitely still mud. And I don't know if a lot of people understand where that whole term, your name is mud, came from. The doctor that helped John Wilkes Booth after he broke his leg, assassinating President Lincoln. The doctor's name was Mudd. So that's where the whole term, you know, my name, your name is Mud, comes from. I know I'm not trying to be a Mr. Know-It-All, but anyways, what I'm trying to say, though, is that the guy, the Dr. Mud, did not even know, like, who he was helping out. He was just a doctor helping out a guy that broke his leg, but ended up, he helped the guy that assassinated the president that freed the slave. So, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's where that whole term comes from. But I also wish that more of these people did stuff like this, because whenever you have a sting set up where cops are doing these sting operations, trying to stop pedophiles, sexual predators, whatever you want to call them, to make yourself feel better. But, you know, they're pretty much, they are predators. They are nothing but predators. They prey on the lives. They prey on all the things that could have been in a child's life that they completely fucking took away from them. Because you are a sexual deviant that, you know, doesn't know better to keep your hands off of kids. So, yeah, the world would be a way better place if some of these people that were caught red-handed would just take care of themselves just like this. I'm just saying.
A teacher arrested last week for soliciting nude photos of minors online is dead. Investigators tell us he took his own life.
Huh. Kind of ironic that he's a history teacher. Maybe somebody will learn from this guy's history and stop trying to pick up little kids. Stop soliciting for photos of minors. Stop being a sicko. Because people like you, this is the reason why our younger generation is so messed up. Because the older generation just comes in and just feels like they have all access to be able to do what they want to minors. No. Good. I'm glad this asshole killed himself. I mean, he was caught red-handed. So there's no wiggle room. There is no false accusations here. This guy got caught. This guy did us all a favor by swallowing a couple of bullets. I swear to God, I hope he blew his head off. And that's exactly what we need. There is no rehabilitation for these people. You know, everybody wants to talk about chemical castration. And how that works, you know, you could cut off their balls and dicks. They are still, it's a power ploy. It's a power play. Nine times out of 10, it's not even a sexual thing. It's all about having that control. And they still can have that control without their dick or balls.
Anthony Peace taught history at Strawberry Crest High School and was a former wrestling coach there. Last week, he was arrested.
See, that makes it even more sick that he was the wrestling coach. Because you know, like, he was like, hey, Billy, you're not hitting that crossface completely. You're not arching your back enough while the guy's trying to pin you. Here, let me show you how it's done. And it was just a whole ploy so he could rub his, like, just dirty old pedophile dick all over these kids while he was wrestling and trying to show them wrestling moves. Jesus Christ almighty. These pedophiles are just as bad as some of the terrorists out there. They are patient. They will do whatever it takes to get to their goal. And that is rubbing your dirty dick all over a minor because you want to show him some wrestling moves. You know what? I'm sorry. I'm not trying to give the guy any props, but kind of brilliant. It is pretty fucking brilliant if you're a pedophile or a pedophile to be able to become the wrestling coach.
Investigators said Peace thought he was asking a 14-year-old for inappropriate pictures, but instead was chatting with a detective. Today, they confirmed Peace shot and killed himself last Thursday.
Okay, so I gotta start off by saying, I don't want you to think like I have any sympathy for this dude at all. I really, really don't. I think these stings are perfect. But, I mean, if we're going about this legally, okay, what law was broken here? What law was broken here, okay? So if the guy broke a law, okay, so hear me out. I know that I'm all over the place here on this one, but I got to go in a roundabout way, okay? Are police officers allowed to break the law to catch people breaking the law? That's my only question there, okay? So the guy really, really was not talking to a minor. He was talking to an adult officer that had some pictures of underage people. So isn't the police officer breaking the law by sending underage pictures of somebody? Or are they pictures of somebody that is of age that looks underage? Is that how they get around it? But then also at the same time, you're still not trading child pornography at that point, right? So isn't it a little bit of a catch-22? Number one, you're not really talking to a minor. Number two, I don't think that the police can actually send you pictures of a minor because that is breaking the law. And then you just can't send pictures of somebody that is overage, that looks underage, because that is still not breaking the law. So what I'm trying to say is, like, I'm glad that we're getting these type of people off, but also at the same time, what laws, what crimes were committed during this sting operation? And if any of you guys out there know, look, I don't want you to think at all, listen, I'm a survivor of childhood trauma. And I say we need to throw these sick motherfuckers all away. These pedophiles, depending on if you're listening in the UK or here in the United States. But what I'm trying to say is it is a very, very slippery slope of how is this legal? I would like to hear from you. If you could email me, tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two D's, tuddle@gmail.com, or leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. Once again, that is 407-270-3044. Gonna take a quick break. Be back. Last segment of today's show. You are listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Orlando Weekly, best of Orlando. Write the Tuttle Daily Podcast in the category for best podcast not on the radio. Visit Tuttle.net, where you'll find a direct link, so you can't complain that it's too complicated. And if you don't live in Orlando, no problem. If you're a supporter of the show from anywhere around the world, you can vote too.
Wish you could have just flown and had your vehicle arrive a day or two later, so you can enjoy more time doing what's important to you? Well, you can. Just give Starfire Transport a call. Let the professionals do the driving while you're flying. Starfire Transport specializes in RV and auto transport. They'll also haul watercraft from boats to PWCs, cargo trailers, and more. Service available throughout the continental United States. So don't wait. Call Brian today at 574-349-4193 or 989-751-6106 for your next move. 10% off for veterans, past or present. Also, make sure to tell them Tuttle sent you for an additional discount. That's Starfire Transport. Want to support the show? Go to paypal.me/Tuttle on the radio.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast, last segment of today's show. If you'd like to reach out, there's a couple of ways you can do that. You can email me, tuttle@gmail.com. Or leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. Once again, that is 407-270-3044. All right, so I want to get into this last news story. Now, I don't understand, like, how this would happen. I don't even know, like, if this is even a real news report. Because there's becoming so many of these offshoot, like, news websites and stuff. So you never know, like, what is real or not real. But I guess that there was this email blast that was sent out. And you want me to be honest? If this was a hacker or an inside job and somebody at Walmart. Well, anyways, here, let's play the story and then I will get into breaking it down for you people.
Walmart is in hot water after a racist email blast went viral. Walmart shoppers received an email blast with the phrase, "Welcome to Walmart, N-word."
All right, so there's so many things I want to say. Okay, for number one, this is the news. This is the news, okay? The news should never be censored. The news should never be edited. We should let it rip, okay? So, like, oh, I don't want to hear the N-word. No, guess what? It's a part of the news story. I think people really, really need to know what's going on. Number two, it's like, all right, so if I'm just being honest, and I know that I'm speculating on this, but I could almost guarantee you that whoever, if this was an employee, an inside job, it was a minority that most likely sent this out. Because, look, it's funnier. It is funny, okay? I know it's a bad word. I think it's a disgusting word, but this is funny as fuck, though. You got to admit. Like, you know that 9 times out of 10 that this was a black person or an African American that sent out this welcome N-word, which they just should say the N-word. I know that I'm being a big hypocrite because I'm not saying the N-word, but guess what? I can't do it. I don't want to say it, but I'm also afraid of cancel culture.
Written in the heading. So instead of your name, it was the N-word there. Yeah, you're looking at it right. Several shoppers screenshot the racist greeting, with many asserting that it was sent to their private email. Some assumed it was a possible hoax. Shoppers took to Twitter with their screenshots slamming the grocery store giant and also asking for accountability.
You also know, you want to know what accountability stands for? Accountability means I need to get paid. No, you look, it is an offensive word, but you do not deserve to get anything. It is just a word. If you want to hurt, somebody, hurt Walmart. Do not buy their stuff. Do not go to their place. Do not buy stuff off their website if you're so offended. But it does not give you the right to get paid. What does it hurt? I know that it's a bad word, people. It is a horrendous word. But do you deserve to get paid for it? Because it was a joke that most likely was sent out by a minority employee that works at Walmart. No, you don't deserve a goddamn thing from that. I'm sorry. I am sorry.
Now, BNC has reached out to Walmart for comment. They have yet to respond. As soon as they do, we'll bring it to you on air and, of course, online.
I don't know where you guys live at, but Walmart and Florida, especially Central Florida, the white people are the most embarrassing thing ever to come out of Walmart. Like, I mean, come on, people. I'm just being honest. I mean, I wouldn't be offended if I got an email. It was like, what's up, cracker ass, cracker motherfucker? Yeah, welcome to Walmart, bitch. What would you like? I'd be like, hell, hey, honey, Walmart's actually kind of like trying to get our business. They said, what up, white people? What up, cracker? Yeah, no, I would not be offended at all if that ended up happening. And I'm also not going to sue. See, everybody's looking for a payout. Everybody is wanting to be offended. Everybody's looking for that slip and fall accident. You know, nobody likes pain, but then they'll see somebody, oh, man, Dan Newland got me $775,000 because I slipped on a wet floor. Dan Newland. Thanks, Dan. No. Everybody's like, man, I wish I would have been that bitch that slipped and fell in that convenience store because I'd be getting like $776,000. No, nobody wants to earn anything anymore. Nobody wants to get things through hard work. They just want to be a part of an accident or whatever it may be just to get paid. I mean, that kind of seems like the common theme of pretty much every single news story that I talk about now. So, anyways, guys, hope you guys enjoyed today's show. I'm going to try to get out and do something fun. I'm going to try to get out and do something for me. I am going to treat myself. Treat yourself. You got to treat yourself every once in a while, because if you don't, you're going to go crazy. Anyways, guys, hope you enjoyed today's show. Hope you guys all stay safe. And I will talk to you tomorrow.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchUup.com, and PocketPairClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Sirach. Show voiceover service is brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two D's .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
A society grows great when old men plant trees, the shade of which they know they will never sit in. Good people do things for other people. That's it, the end.